Hey everyone, welcome to the Foach's Corner with my main man, Coach Phony Bennett, Dougie Fresh out of Jersey, Chris Havlicek down in the bottom, which is also, I guess you're not the bottom half, right? The bottom is Miami?
Bottom is Miami, but you know, they have the same COVID numbers we do, so it's pretty much the same.
All right. T-Dubs, the producer, the Oz, the man that makes everything go out in Cali, and I'm Mark Jerome in New York City. T-Dubs, we're doing we're changing up a little bit today.
Well, I was going to go over a little bit towards the end. We're stealing something from, I was listening to JJ Redick's podcast, and they did a draft of who you'd want as a podcast guest, dead or alive. So I was going to steal that little tidbit. And then, but we have a little bit of, you know, it's a bye week, but I was going to talk to you guys about this one. Got this. We made this post. If JPJ is going to erect a statue, who should it be? Of course, I had a grammatical error in the tweet, but whatever. I put Ralph, Don, TB, and then Dre, Ty, Kyle, Kihei, Mamadi. Should have been Brian Stith in there. That's me and Fresh were saying, but this got a ton of traction. So, but ultimately, 55% said TB, 30 Ralph, 10 championship team. Only 3.5 Don. Don was my vote. So
wow.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, but that's because if people are rooting for TB, how many people are new to UVA? Like, how many new students are, which is probably the social media crew?
Yeah, that's fair.
A lot of them. And they don't know Don, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that Don.
They call that the recency bias, right?
Right.
So that's hurting. But by the way, everyone on there is phenomenal. But
exactly. You know,
Fresh and I are going to vote for Brian Stith every time. I mean, Ralph has to get the statue.
Yeah.
But
it should be Brian Stith.
Mini statue next to the statue is Brian Stith, in my opinion.
I want to nominate somebody too. I want to nominate Malcolm Brogdon.
Malcolm Brogdon. The only reason I said Dawn Staley is just the accolades for her is just unbelievable. Like, she held the flag for the Olympics. She got 3-time gold medalist. She a national championship as a coach of three Final Fours at UVA. Yeah. No, that's the list.
Everything is in basketball, literally everything.
She's a winner,
yeah,
and a great representative of UVA. So that's why she got my vote. But again, 3.5%. So
yes, I saw somebody suggest that instead of a statue for Tony, because you know he would never be on board with that, but that they erect 5 pillars outside of JPJ.
Yeah, that would be cool. They should do that anyways, right? They should mark the pillars in the front of JPJ.
Right, and then you can be like, yeah, meet me by humility or whatever. Like,
right. I would do like 4.5 pillars because let's be honest, we can't all adhere to all.
Yeah.
How many? What would mean you can get like 3 and 7, 3 3/4 maybe of the pillars done?
I mean, I would love to see like Kihei passing on one side and Mamadi doing the shot on one, and maybe Dre's corner 3 and 1 and Ty's halftime celebration and the free throws from Kyle. Yeah, all just like every, you know, every area you have a little, maybe TB is slapping the sticker on the on somewhere, I don't know, or screaming. I mean, his favorite pose would be screaming at Purdue. That'd be cool. I don't know what the Dawn Staley pose would be. Would it be her holding the USA flag? Or
right, she's done it all, right? So
yeah.
I think her just with that high dribble she used to do, you know, like in a stance playing ball.
With her bob haircut.
Fresh,
you remember Dawn's signature was the rubber band on
That's right.
her wrist. And when she made a turnover or a bad play or missed a shot, she'd pull that rubber band and it'd snap, and that was her way of like saying, you know,
yep. I need snap out of it. That's cool.
Snap herself, little self wound.
Right, Rouse would probably be posting up Ewing. Is that the most iconic photo of him?
I don't think it's against anybody. I think it's just him in that, yeah, but in that position.
Yeah, where he's calling for the ball with his hand up. That's like,
yeah, Ralph was always like that, right? Big hand up, ready for it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, what I'm picturing is he calling for the ball. Is it like a little jump hook or? Yeah, but
that'd be cool. And then the other one, I posed this question to. We had Bryce Perkins on the lockdown yesterday, and after the show, we kind of talked about this one. If it was Scott Stadium, who would it be? We'll put Sean Moore, Welsh, Long, Poindexter. This is a tougher call, right? I mean, George Ross has like a half bust already there, but not a full. No one has a full statue.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I always lean toward players unless it was just an absolutely iconic coach, meaning
TB.
I mean, literally John Wooden status.
Yeah.
You know, George Welsh was awesome. He turned the whole thing around, but did he win championships? No.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm more of a player guy.
And for the record, if we go back to basketball for a second, Tony Bennett court, right? The signature on the court seems like is going to be the call down the line. Probably not the statue, but what do I know?
Again, I don't think he would dig it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's a little gimmicky.
He'd have to be gone for that to happen. Let's keep it real.
Coach Newport, whatever.
Well, what do you guys think for football? What do you think of when you think of football, UVA football?
I think it's all relative per sort of personal to everybody on here. For me, and perhaps for Fresh, we were surrounded by such great, iconic players during the 4 years we were there. So we had... Think of these four. We had Sean Moore and Herman Moore. Okay. Unbelievable players.
Yep.
We had Chris Slade, you know, just a remarkable player and a remarkable human being. And then we had Terry Kirby.
Yep.
Who was the parade All-American number one player of the year in football. He was a McDonald's All-American in basketball. And he got drafted in baseball. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, if we're talking Scott Stadium, but Terry meant so much to the university.
Agreed.
You know, yep. I don't know if we've ever had another number one player in a revenue sport come to UVA.
Ralph Sampson.
Right, but like, you know, that was pre-revenue when they didn't even call it that. You got Ralph, and but Terry was just an iconic, legendary, mythical kind of player coming to UVA. I mean, I heard about him up in Boston that he was going there. So my vote's for TK, for you know, a member of my recruiting class and teammate, and same with Fresh. But there's a lot of deserving people, and I think at the end of the day, it becomes, you know, personal. And by the way, here's the bigger question: do you have to erect a statue? I think it's a great hypothetical, but.
Not for football yet. What do you think, Phony? You've been a football fan a long time. Who would be?
And that's the thing. I have trouble identifying one player because of the lack of championships and you know, never having that, even that one perfect season. I mean, they certainly came close with you know, was that 91? But yeah, I don't know that there's anyone that's screaming out other than George Welsh, just because. He's the reason Virginia football is
even relevant.
Still allowed in the ACC, really. I mean, you know, we might be a basketball only if not for that. That's much tougher. And I can't say that I'm like, yeah, get this guy a statue. You know, no one who's so one person is so iconic, like in the men's and women's programs in basketball, right. Like Don and Ralph.
Right.
Yeah, I think Kirby's interesting, though, because number one player in the country, could have played. I think there's a team on the moon that's really good. He was recruited by. He could have played. And he chose Virginia because he wanted to be in state. And I think because he did that, that brought a bunch of guys from the Tidewater area. Yeah. Called the 757 now, I think.
Right.
But that all, you know, all the defensive backs have, all those guys. They were like, oh, Kirby's going there. Good enough for him. Good enough for me. So
I mean, agreed. We talked about this before. Allen Iverson, in his book, said he wanted to come to UVA because of Terry Kirby.
I mean, that's
very cool. Very cool. Yeah. And I think Terry was the first guy that was recruited. You know, he went intergalactic, as Fresh said. He went off planet. So that's that makes him unique and different.
All right. And then not a whole lot of UVA news this week, given the no game rescheduling. No Virginia Tech. I thought we might get a Virginia Tech rescheduling, but that didn't happen.
I know. That just seemed perfect because, you know, there's going to be other games canceled. And, man, they had an opportunity. And it's not going to be convenient, but whatever. It's a weird season. And if everyone's playing by the same rules, it is what it is. But
I wonder who has that call. Is it – I'm guessing it's the ACC TV programming that has the call probably, right?
I mean, that would be the worst reason, given that they're playing games at like 2 in the afternoon. I mean,
yeah,
they can't be so serious about TV if they're not.
They have the ACC network. It's not like they have to bump things anyway.
So I'm going to propose a hypothetical to the group. So if you're the coach of an ACC team and, you know, you have there's a reschedule opportunity, and the reschedule opportunity is with a school like Virginia. Or it's with a ACC program that's struggling right now, like a Syracuse or a BC or a Wake. How do you think about that? Because it will have ramifications for the tournament. I think that's a major issue that really hasn't been addressed. And to T-Dub's question, who really makes the decision? You know, it's classic Virginia and classic Tony Bennett to step up during an off week and say, hey, let's play the number one team in the country on short notice in Dallas. It's another thing to say, you know what, if we postpone this game against Virginia, we get to play BC 2 days later. Maybe that's a better option. I just think it's becoming a little bit speculative and becoming strategic as opposed to I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but responsible maybe.
Right. I'm still willing to give these teams the benefit of the doubt that, you know, I think the players want to play basketball, and I don't know that anyone's ducking anybody, but no, I mean, I get it, especially in that, Virginia Tech, they're playing really well. And it's like, do we schedule them on short notice? I mean, we presumably had done some kind of prep before we played them last time. So, you know, maybe we've already been introduced to the game plan, but yeah, I just want to see the guys play. And I would imagine, and you guys could speak better to that, but the players, I think they'll just be happy to play, whether they're playing the best team or the worst team.
The players want to play. I think the athletic departments will be strategic. And ultimately, I think the NCAA committee will be mindful. If a program ducks a couple highly ranked teams to get to lower ranked teams, I think that will manifest itself in the rankings and ultimately the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
And I was going to go a little off topic. Last week we talked about Netflix tops trending. Here was that number one, I don't know what you call it, show, a documentary. Night Stalker, The Hunt for a Serial Killer is the number one. Cobra Kai, I know you're a big fan of that. Fresh, right?
Love it. So good.
Yeah. I saw the first season. It was really good.
It's great. There's zero plot. It makes no sense anywhere. Nobody knows technology. It's like right up my alley. Just just snarky jokes and, you know, the whole thing, so.
So I got a plug here.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, T-Dub.
No, I was going to ask you if you've heard of any of these on this top 10. Anybody seen any of these on the top 10 list?
So I'm going to put in my top five of the past 5 years in terms of binge watching, The Queen's Gambit.
Yeah, that's number 10 on our list right here.
It's number 10. I see it's the only one I recognized. It was wildly addictive, breathtaking, and you know, for a show to suck me in like that, that is based on chess, which I know, you know, I'm not a chess player. I kind of wish I was. It's an occasional New Year's resolution for me that I'm going to learn how to play chess. But The Queen's Gambit is phenomenal. It's short. You're looking at, I think it's maybe 6 episodes, and I can't wait for the second season. But it's in my top five ever for like sucking me in and keeping me spelled.
Wait, what's the theme? The theme is chess.
The theme really? Is chess, but it's much more than that. It's about I'll give you my, like, I'll slip into critic mode here. It's about a young girl who loses her parents and gets sent to an orphanage in the Midwest, which was a giant monolithic institution that had a lot of bad in it. However, in her friend, who was the janitor, she learned the game of chess and goes on to incredible fame and fortune because of her acumen for chess and also her demons, and settle in with a nice earthy Merlot and maybe a venison chop, and you'll enjoy it immensely.
So it's like a Midwestern Slumdog Millionaire, essentially.
It's like Hoosiers, but for chess.
I've heard a lot of, I've seen a lot of stuff about it.
I was massively skeptical going into it. Thought it would be terrible. Fought it for the first 7 minutes and then immediately watched. I think it's 6 episodes. It was like a 2-dayer for me. Really just, good.
For listeners, I'll just read the top 10 real quick. Queen's Gambit, Surviving Death, Gabby's Dollhouse, Jenny Rivera, Coco Melon, LA's Finest, Cobra Kai, Lupin, Bridgerton, and then number one, Night Stalker. Mark, have you seen any of these?
I've seen a few episodes of Lupin. I've seen a few episodes of Cobra Kai. Could not get into it like Dougie could.
What?
I think Cobra Kai is going to be
I saw the first half of the first episode of Queen's Gambit, which I really liked.
Not enough to go back in, though.
No, I do. Absolutely. Okay. And people in New York that I know loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it.
That's what I've seen. I have no idea what it's about I do now.
So I do want to. I just have a couple other things I've seen.
I'll recommend this, and maybe this is like a pattern for it. There are some shows that like people tend to want to take it in bite sizes, episode by episode. Commit to like 2 episodes of The Queen's Gambit, and I guarantee you won't leave your house for the rest of the weekend.
Nice.
Good.
Yeah. I tried to watch Night Stalker. I couldn't do it.
Why?
Did it? Was it deeply personal for you?
It actually was. So here, I like serial killer movies, not because I like want to be one, but when I was a kid, Jeffrey Dahmer, I don't know if you guys remember that, Dahmer story, which he was like killing little Asian boys in Milwaukee, freaked me out. I couldn't sleep, and I had to like figure out what was going on. And then ever since then, I've always been like, I wonder what this serial killer's about. And I was
Dahmer. I can't, especially when it includes kids. I can't even.
It's tough.
Yeah.
My TV watching, like in terms of series and stuff, is escapism, and to make me happy and forget about the awful world in which we live. And so I tend to stay away from programs that will bring me down and remind me. And that's why Cobra Kai is probably going to be my next one.
Cobra Kai.
Oh, it's all Chris. Like you'll love Cobra Kai.
I thought it was great. It's good to bring all those characters back into your life. You know, if you like the original
Johnny Lawrence's.
it was really good. I liked it. All right, do we want to get to our little draft?
Wait, can I get some attention to Hav's tweet earlier in the week?
Oh, yeah.
About Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech
guard.
Here, I'll pull it up. Go ahead.
You have a Twitter account, Hav?
I do. It's
at Chris Havlicek 15.
No, I'm kidding. I follow you.
That's a great one.
Not great, but look, we were too shy of 300. That kind of broke. I almost called my mom and my sister and said, you guys got to vote to get me to 300.
No, I mean, the question's great.
Yeah, when I think of Georgia Tech, I always think of their great guards. They have a lot of them. Who do you think of first? Mark Price, Kenny Anderson, Stephon Marbury, Travis. That's a great list. It's all about age, though, right? So, you know.
Here's the problem with questions. Who do you think of first? If I were being honest first, I would have said Mark Price and
same here.
And Bruce Dalrymple, which I saw.
Yep.
Bobby Todd and Mark Jerome tweeted the same thing because I read that same Sports Illustrated article, which contrasted Brooklyn, New York Dalrymple with Enid, Oklahoma.
Harlem. Was it Brooklyn? I think he grew up in Harlem.
Brooklyn. I remember the article.
You see my vote here, Kenny.
Anyhow, It was a great article, and it was like,
it was an awesome article. Awesome. That article had a lot of impact on me because it was about one of them went to visit the other one. And I don't remember if Bruce Dalrymple went to visit Mark Price at his home or Mark Price came to visit Bruce Dalrymple.
I want to say, I don't know. But I know Mark Price was a big Christian as I was growing up. That's why I don't curse and stuff. And Dalrymple was down from New York. And, you know, Mark Price used to ask Bobby Kremins, please, you know, control your language a little bit in practice. And he's like, yeah, go yourself. No, that great question.
Yeah, and I answered Mark Price but I don't know that I ever watched him play at Georgia Tech. Like, I knew Mark Price from going up against the Bulls when he was on the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
But I knew him to be a Georgia Tech player. I saw Travis Best and Stephon Marbury play in person, but Mark Price is still the first Georgia Tech player, I think.
Trivia question. What University of Virginia former coach took Mark Price's job?
Coach took Mark Price's job at
I might be making this up.
Mark Price's job where?
I forget where he was coaching Mark Price. Remind me, Dougie.
If I gave you that, you'd know.
I might not.
Very recent. Very recent. Who's the last big time coach to leave UVA for a big time for a head coaching job?
Ron Sanchez.
Yeah.
He was at Charlotte.
I did not know that.
I think he left, got fired before, and then they
Then they brought. Okay, interesting. I mean, Ken Anderson for me. That name was legendary. I watched Mark Price too, but I was not as big a fan of his game. He was great, but I just remember
still nursing.
Yeah, 98% from free throws. I was probably 10 years old.
Okay.
Did you play against Kenny in high school?
Not not our high schools, obviously. We played
Shootout, whatever.
We played them in the Shootout, and we played them at a couple tournaments. He was phenomenal. But what I thought was so remarkable about this question, I didn't think about it at the time, but these guys backed up to each other. It's not like us saying, you know, Ralph Sampson, Brian Stith, Malcolm Brogdon,
right?
You know,
that was in a row. This is literally in order.
In a row. This is like 86 to 96.
Right.
They were bang, bang, bang. And they really had a pipeline there of phenomenal guards. Now, Travis, you know, I got to speak up for my boy from Massachusetts because Travis was younger, but phenomenal on the AAU circuit at a very early age. And, you know, how long did Travis play? I don't know. I know he was with the Pacers. Like, he probably had a 10-year career, but
no
quicker than quick. And
15. He is at least 15, guarantee you.
Yeah, and T-Dub will check that. But, you know, I think, again, this one you can't really bring in bias because there's a 10-year spread. Our good friend Jerry Ratcliffe was tweeting back and forth on this tweet with Dickie V.
That was awesome.
Check them, and Dickie V said he thought he was, you know, maybe the best shooter he's ever seen, as did Jerry. So I had to go look at some Mark Price highlights of him shooting, which are phenomenal. The drawback is the really short shorts, and it's hard to believe. Like, I know they're kind of going back to shorter, tighter shorts now, but what happened during Mark Price's era should never happen again in collegiate athletics. From an apparel standpoint,
the tight shorts now are streamlined. Back then, they hugged you, so
yes.
you might lose a member out the right or the left side. Back then, nothing's going to come out. You're fine. Your legs look good. You're muscular.
They were like jogging shorts as opposed to basketball pants back then. And
the interesting thing is,
but
after Marbury, who do you think was their next point guard? Do you remember? Ooh.
Jumper. Is it a big name?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's kind of the end of their crazy run.
Bobby Kremins.
I'm going to take a guess and say it was Drew Barry.
No, he's before. Mm-hmm. He's our time.
Kevin Morris.
Oh, who?
Kevin Morris.
I think it's that Alvaro.
Exactly.
I think it's Alvaro who's played for 25
years. Jared Jack too, right?
Jared Jack was much later.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, yeah, this is where like when you get older, you start losing track of decades. But
yeah, interesting.
Huh? What years was Barry there?
Well, John was there. John Barry's a year older than us, me and Hav. And then Drew
Barry graduated in 96.
Okay. Yeah,
a couple of years of Drew.
By the way, what contrasting styles of brothers. Like, John was such a weird dude. Great player.
Yep.
Just a weirdo. He was like on the – he should have played lacrosse. But Drew was such a good dude, man. Drew, right? Younger?
Yeah, Drew.
Such a cool guy. Really good player. And, you know.
They had a great team. Travis Best, James Forrest, Drew Barry, Matt Harpring. Wow.
Oh, Harpring, man. I forgot Harpring about him. But it's Barry that I was thinking about at the 94 ACC tournament. So I was there as a photographer, but if I wasn't shooting the game, then I had really lousy seats, like way up in the nosebleed seats. But you were so high up. It was really neat watching Barry's passing through these lanes that when you're down low, you can't really see it. But when you're up above, it's, you know, it's almost like that, you know, the all 22 view in football. Like you can actually see the passing lanes that he just threading through. He was good. They had some good teams in. But I think Bobby Crimmins is the person I most associate with Georgia Tech basketball.
Yeah, that's fair.
Basketball. Bobby Crimmins is the first guy I think of. He was awesome.
He gets the statue in front of whatever their arena is called.
he was the stunt double for Phil Donahue for years. People don't realize that, in addition to be a great, great coach. But terrific hair on Bob, Mr. Crimmins, Coach.
Did we want to also – before we do our draft, did you want to do your power rankings, Hav?
Well, I mean, am I the only one doing them, or can we, like...
Oh, we'll save them until Saturday.
Yeah, save them until Saturday.
All right.
By the way, there's some games that may affect them, but I will say, I'll tease it, there's been a massive shift, and the biggest shift is that Clemson is plummeting back to earth.
They are.
Apollo 13. You know, just... A couple tough losses, and their number one defense in the country has been exposed. And Georgia Tech took a page out of our book and just back cut and backdoored the heck out of them the other night, just like we did. So my guess is tomorrow's practice is going to be a lot about, you know, jump in the passing lanes, but not getting back cut for the Clemson team.
They also shot the lights out, Hav, last night.
Yeah, they did.
They did, just like we did against them. They've had two teams go lights out against them. And I think that's pretty, you know, that's tough luck. And maybe it forebodes a bad shooting night if you believe in the law of averages against Georgia Tech for both teams. So maybe both teams shoot like 28% the entire game, and it looks more like a Virginia game, but we'll get to that in another episode.
All right. That works. All right. So I put all of our names in this list randomizer. I thought I'd randomize it. I'll just randomize it. What do you think? Three times?
Oh, this is the T-Dub version of picking names out of a hat, I believe.
Yeah. Three. Let's do three. All right. So number one pick is fresh. I called that earlier today. TW, Mark, Phony, Hat. And we'll just, should we just do Snake, or do we want to go back around? NBA.
Wait, how many are we drafting?
Five. We're gonna do five rounds.
We go back around. I get the first.
I think it's Snake. I think you go
Snake. All right. So have you get two picks? I'll leave this up while we do this.
What the fuck? What is Snake?
Snake means it goes backwards. So
oh, okay.
You don't say all five. Yep. It goes down and comes. No, back.
Yeah, it goes one through five, and then five back through one.
So yeah. Hav will get back to back picks.
Serpentine.
Yeah, and then Fresh, you'll get back to back picks after that.
Boom. There's no chance anybody has my pick, so I'm good.
So, T-Dubs, do you want to explain it again one more time?
So we're going to do our draft of all-time dead or alive podcast guests, 1 hour. You know, you want to carry a conversation for 1 hour. So, you know, try to make it somewhat relevant to you. But if you want to go Gandhi, Pope, Mother Teresa, that's your call. I'm not listening to those podcasts. No, actually, no, I definitely am. I'm not going to lie. But
I looked it up in the bylaws. If you pick Michael Jordan, LeBron, Jesus Christ, the Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, or anyone who plays for the New York Yankees,
you're disqualified. Yeah, that's fair.
Ryan off limits?
Huh? Who?
What's that?
Ryan Cashman? Huh?
No, he's all right. He's not a player. He'd be good.
I tried to keep mine relative to Virginia and
I think
sports and like what I'm actually interested in versus going, you know.
I'd love to see if there's any over, if anybody steals anybody's draft.
We can share our notes afterwards. All right. With the first pick in the podcast draft, fresh for you taken.
May come as a surprise. Robert Nesta Marley.
Oh, Bob Marley.
Is my first pick. Nice. And there's a reason. So Have knows. I always had an affinity for dance hall. Reggae. But I actually used to read the New York Times, the book page. What's it called, Margie? The book of the week or whatever.
Book review.
Book review. And there was one time it was Catch a Fire by Timothy White, Bob Marley. And I bought the book, read it. As I read the book, I'd go to the music store and buy the CDs as it went. And I just became infatuated. Incredibly interesting. I'll give you another story. He was on Sly and the Family Stone's tour. And he became so popular, Sly threw him off the tour. And there's a San Francisco DJ that interviewed him. And it's called Talking Blues. It turned into an album. Now, there's no chance anybody can understand a word he says without translators, and maybe have, but just an incredible figure, somebody I've always been kind of infatuated with. So Bob Marley, number one pick.
Incredible way to kick off the draft.
All right. That's incredible. All right. My turn. I got number two. We already mentioned him on this show. I'm gonna go Allen Iverson, because I wanted to understand how close was he to coming to Virginia. Like, because you know, he came to camps. He evaluated us in football and basketball. He had us on his list, and then he went to jail. I'd love to know the what ifs on that one. That's kind of why I don't Allen Iverson on our podcast. Next up, Mark.
So I think the net is so wide if I don't limit it to sports.
Right.
Capacity, right?
Right.
I think you have to, for me at least.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Muhammad Ali.
Mm.
Great one.
Nice.
No explanation needed on that guy.
And UVA connection. He lived in Charlottesville for a while.
That's right. And of course, Dougie knew that.
Yeah. Muhammad Ali, Charlottesville.
He came and saw us during our NIT run. And when we played Villanova at Villanova, we had Muhammad Ali come like into the room and meet us.
It was Dr. J, too.
And Dr. J, too, yeah.
Yep.
Another Virginia Squires, Barry Parkhill, fan of UVA. Crazy the connections is back to UVA.
So wait a minute. So what was Muhammad Ali like when you guys met him? What year was that?
I'm going to say that was like 92.
Okay.
So he was, you know, he had his Parkinson's and.
Yep.
But was just such a presence. Like it was his presence, I think, which was so remarkable. And he kind of, you know, joked around with us and threw some punches, and it was more, his presence and just his kindness were kind of what came out. Not necessarily his words or, you know, his great history. It was just him being there, and it was just an honor for all of us. I remember we all walked out and we're like, wow, that was Muhammad Ali.
We were so lucky, man.
But you know, what's crazy for me about Muhammad Ali is, and Malcolm X, and I know some people aren't, you know, going to be turned off a little bit by it. We discussed politics. Like, these people were hated.
Right.
Right. And now they've become icons. And that's what's going to happen with Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
By the way, nobody take him.
That's yours. You wish it was a snake draft.
Well, I'm gonna. Yeah. I might sneak you now.
No one's taking him. No one's taking him. I trust you guys. I know no one had him on his list. All right.
Phony.
You know, mine actually kind of dovetails nicely, but it goes more my direction into comedy, and that's Charlie Chaplin. And it's actually interesting because today is the 100th anniversary of the premiere of his movie, The Kid. But my favorite Charlie Chaplin movie was The Great Dictator. It was his first talkie. And T-Dub, maybe you can put his speech. There's a speech that he gives at the end of that when he's portraying the dictator, which is a obviously Adolf Hitler kind of knockoff. So that movie came out in 39. So it was before the world knew the true extent of how bad Hitler was, but people that were paying attention like knew this guy was trouble. And it's a fascinating movie, but the speech that he gives, I think it's probably more topical than ever. And he was one of those guys, he was banned from the United States, I think because of his communist leanings. He was banned for decades until the Oscars finally recognized him in the 70s, I think. Just brilliant comedian, ushered in a new technology, was crucial in you know, movies becoming a thing, seamlessly really adapted to talkies. I mean, it's amazing seeing him, and he plays multiple characters in The Great Dictator.
That's awesome.
I think he would be a fascinating person to sit down and talk to.
Who put you on to him, Phony?
I don't know if anyone, I think, you know, from a kid, like you would see like all these, you know, clips, the silent clips from like Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton and stuff. And they were always entertaining. And then I started, when DVDs became a thing, I started buying some Charlie Chaplin movies. You know, Gold Rush and Modern, I don't want to get that confused.
Modern Times.
Yeah. Modern Problems was the Chevy Chase movie, but yeah. And it's just fascinating. I mean, the physical comedy that he did and his ability to have timing even through, you know, just being physical was just amazing. And the fact that he was a lot more than that and full disclosure, he was a pretty complicated person in some of his interpersonal relationships and all that. But yep. if we stick to the comedy stuff and just, I mean, he had a social awareness because of his upbringing that I just find it fascinating. He's someone that I'm like learning about. The Robert Downey Jr. movie several years ago with him, I thought he was brilliant in that. Robert Downey Jr. was just did a really good job at portraying him as, you know, as the tramp and just as an actual person as well.
My dad was a big fan, so he put me on to him at a young age. So we used to go see Charlie Chaplin movies when I was little.
Oh, that's awesome. He's just amazing. You've seen The Great Dictator?
Yeah, I saw them all.
There's just so many, I mean, just brilliant scenes in that with the globe. But that speech at the end, and it's kind of speech Americans right now, it'd probably be good to listen to. There's a lot
I'll tack it on at the end of this podcast for those that want to hear it.
I thought he was the one that did the no sound movies, Charlie Chaplin.
He did, and that's why The Great Dictator was
his first silent, right? Yes.
Yeah, the mime.
Also known as silent movies.
Silent movies. In Tennessee, it's no sound, Mark.
Either way, Dougie.
Yeah, that works.
You run around all fast and shit.
All right, Hav, you're up. All right, Got two picks.
Two picks. All right, my number one draft pick, and I think anybody – so my number one draft pick's my dad. All right.
Yeah, clearly.
Anybody who's lost a parent would do anything to have another chat with their parent. But my dad happened to play basketball and have a great career. And, you know, I always say he was a better dad than a basketball player, but the stories he told me from the time I was little, until the day he died were phenomenal. So he's my number one draft pick. That was an obvious one.
I'm sad we missed the John Chris Havlicek podcast.
Can I ask a lighthearted question?
Yeah, yeah.
How disgusted would he be with our crew doing a podcast?
He would have issues with our efficiency.
Yeah. How many times would TW, Markey, and myself got grounded during the podcast?
If he was controlling like the mute button and the like, we'd all be in timeout quite a bit. But in keeping with sort of the theme, in keeping with the theme of my dad, the guy that I would love to get on and just talk basketball with is someone who knew I knew as a little boy, and that's Red Auerbach.
Good one.
Red, was probably the first great pro coach in the NBA. Iconic with his victory cigar, iconic with all of his victories, and a larger than life figure that, you know, if he had come around today, would be, you know, a lot more sort of famous and recognized. But to right. me, Red Auerbach was a great sort of grandfatherly type guy who gave me chocolate. And now as an adult, I'd love to talk to him about basketball.
That's the point, right? Like, you could channel your 7-year-old self the way you saw it to your 50-year-old self to way, you know, you reminisce. So that's exactly. Pretty cool. Very cool.
Those would have been two massive shows.
By the way.
Just to, you know, Chris Havlicek, John Havlicek, Chris Havlicek, Red Auerbach. Number one on iTunes for sure. Phony, you're on mute. I'm guessing that means
all right, we go backwards.
That's right, you're up next.
So for me, my second pick is a little bit weird, but it's also someone who really changed the industry he was in, and that was Steve Jobs. I've been an Apple guy since I was a little kid. I used Apple computers and they just blew my mind, the things you could do on them. And my first computer was a Mac, and my I've had almost every iPhone. So I'm one of those guys that's invested in that. But from an outsider's perspective, he was such a game changer. And, you know, and he was a lot on the marketing side with things, but I think he was fascinating. And to be a part of something that has just changed the world so much. And that, I know something he was fond of saying is that the journey is the reward. You know, we're not doing this for some big payoff at the end. And it's being a part of that journey that is what makes it special. And I think he would be a pretty interesting one to talk about.
So what would you, I assume you've seen the movies. What tidbit would you want to get out of your podcast with him?
I mean, you know, what used to always fascinate me, and I read books about it in college, was the creation of the first Macintosh, and, you know, where they're borrowing technology that no one was willing to show the light of day, that no one thought, you know, would be successful. And you know, he had an ability, you know, and one of the things that I always thought was interesting is he was like, the user doesn't know what they want. And that's what a lot of companies were trying to give people what they want. Right. I said, no, they don't know what they want. I'm going to give them this and they'll want it. And they'll realize that, okay, this is actually what I wanted. And, but the creation of that and, you know, how that brought computers to the masses. And then look, I mean, every one of us carries a computer with us now. And
yeah, it's incredible. It's
only because they became so easy to use and so easy to interface with that we're all able to do that, because there was a point where it was really walled off to people that had the knowledge that could type in all those arcane commands and find what they want. And it's been so much more democratized with the advent of personal computing and the advances in that. So I think he would be a good one to talk to.
That's fine. He has one, you may know this quote. He has one of the greatest quotes, in my opinion, about money. Steve Jobs, somebody was like, what's it like to be rich versus what? He's like, I had no money, so I didn't care. And then I had way too much, so I never cared. I'm not saying it the right way. The way he said it was much better, but it's interesting that he just had a vision, whatever, not doing it for money, I assume, because there was no money in it until there was.
Yeah, I mean, these guys were just into technology and you know, what would have been called hacking back then and you know, creating things. It's just,
and they were probably doing shrooms in their garage and
right. Oh yeah, definitely. I think he was a fan of the psychedelic.
Yeah, I've had a boss who worked for, this is crazy, that he worked for Steve Jobs and then he left that to go work for Jeff Bezos. Wow. And the stories he would tell, I mean, just how brilliant they are, but just how crazy they were too.
Right. So, I don't think it would have been necessarily positive to work for.
No, definitely not. From what I understand, both of those guys were extremely smart, but very intense and not fun to work with. But that's how they got so good.
Yep. All right.
Mark?
All right. So have brought, you know, revved up my mind and maybe think about my dad as well. He, not sports world, so I'm not going to include him. But if, of course, he just recently passed almost a year ago. So if you could have one more conversation with somebody like that, it would definitely be my dad as well. The other person, if it weren't sports, I would put up there would be Malcolm X. Sticking to sports, number two, and my dad was such a fan of his, Jackie Robinson.
Yep. I mean...
Yeah. Wow.
Mic drop.
That's a big one. But what, talk to me about what are some of the, what would be a question you would ask Jackie? Like, what are some conversations you would have? Like, let's say you got 1 hour, right? Where are you starting with him? What's the opening line for you?
Dude, how'd you do
question?
It? How the heck did you do it?
Yeah.
Like, how did you, you know, how did you maintain yourself? How did you not get into a fight every play?
Yeah.
Right. And I know the answer on that one, but you know, where'd you learn how to play? There's so many questions. Where'd you learn how to play baseball? Did you understand what you were doing while you were doing it? Did you understand that the vision, the big picture that you were changing, you transcended sports.
Right.
Every sport. What's that?
What do you think his answer is? He's like, no, I was just a player.
I think he was probably at that time, he came from the Negro League, so he's probably doing it for himself and didn't understand how much of an impact this was going to have on the world. Maybe he did.
At some point, you had to realize it. Probably not right out of the gate, though.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that, like, okay, I'm the first. What are you thinking at that time? Like,
this is huge.
Think about 60 years later or 80 years later.
Yeah.
Or 50 years later.
You could never imagine.
Look ahead. If you could remember 50 years ago and think back and think 50 years ahead, what sports would look like. Was this what it would look like to you?
Right.
Could you imagine?
Right.
What was your relationship with Blanche Rickey? Who were the guys that were the sympathizers? Who were the guys that were the biggest jerks?
Right. Oh, crazy. All right. Yes, my pick. My original number one, by the way, thanks to Fresh, I crossed off, which was Brian Stith. So thank you, Fresh. Just want to make sure you know that.
Me too.
My next pick, I'm still going to keep it Virginia, Bruce Hornsby.
Oh, good one.
And the reason being, not only the music and all of that, but I know he is a big basketball fan. Mm-hmm. And I know when Iverson went to jail, he was his pen pal. So again, an Iverson connection. But then also when Tupac went to jail, another pen pal of his was Bruce Hornsby, and they had a music connection, which, you know, the music, the song Changes with Bruce Hornsby and Tupac once he got out of jail formed from that.
Right.
So those are, I'd just love to hear all of that. And then his son went to LSU. To play ball, but I was curious, like, well, did you think about UVA? I know he's got a wing at the UVA, you know, Old Capitol Hall. I think he's
can actually make that happen. GW, have
we can get that going.
He did every game, blue orange game.
Yeah, he went on Jay Leno with a Virginia basketball T-shirt. I thought that was so cool. Great. He had like the number one song in the country at the time. The way he's it is,
great, great guy, great fan, and by the way, he would have great content.
Oh, absolutely. I have no doubt. He has so many stories. I saw
JPJ a few years ago with his son when he was in high school. His son's still in high school. So,
wasn't his son like 6'6 or 6'7?
No. I guess he was very strong kid. Shot a lot of threes.
He could shoot the lights out. He is a shooter. Yeah.
Lots of tattoos, right?
He got hurt. I know he got hurt. That hurt his recruitment, but. I don't really know the details. That would be why we'd want him on the podcast.
He probably got probably got 10 stacks to go to LSU, right?
Yeah, probably. All right, Fresh.
I think that means $10,000 to have 10 stacks.
They got a that's light. I guess they figured it that he didn't need much.
Right.
I think the going rate to go to LSU was like what, 50, 75, 100?
Yeah. 100, 200.
Right. You're up fresh.
I'm up.
You got two picks. You're a snake, so you get two picks.
Yeah, I changed. This is so I changed shirts. So my number two is Pelé.
Ooh,
jeez.
So Pelé, which I, you know, like think about all of us. We're kind of the same age, except for TW. When you're growing up and you're going to the library and you're picking a book out, it's about we didn't give a shit about soccer. No. But in the bibliography, 700s or whatever, I found Pelé and read about him. The guy's rolling up his socks and kicking it around his dirt backyard, and he becomes, you know, we say in Brazil, "O rei," which means the king. He's the king of soccer.
I heard in my like all my friends who played soccer,
right?
All they talked about was Pelé when I was yeah. like, you know, whatever, 5, 6, 7 years old. It was all about Pelé.
He played in the World Cup at age 16, I think.
Yeah.
And then his whole story, it's just incredible. He's from like the most humble beginnings. And, you know, I have my Brazilian connection, obviously. And
yeah, I like that one. That's a good connection for you.
Oh, that's mine.
All right.
It's funny. I was at my old job. We had Nick Wood, who have knows. They had a fundraiser, whatever. And there was a silent auction. And a young kid who played for Calipari was with me. And I was bidding on a Pelé signed soccer ball. And this kid was like, "Why is Fresh bidding on something called Pelé?"
That's awesome.
He's 30 years old, had no idea. So,
right. Anyway, oh, hey. Your next pick. You get another one.
Well, yeah. You know what? I'm going to surprise you guys here. Maybe not have.
I know where you're going already.
I don't think you do.
No, maybe not.
I'm going with Pat Conroy.
Oh,
he's a great
discipline guy.
Yes, he's a great Southern.
Pat Conroy,
no longer with us. Again, to the we're allowed to draft.
Incredible pick.
And I really got into so. Hav and I worked that job at DC, and we became readers. And he went with all the Clive Cussler. I think, is that right?
Yeah, Pat Conroy, Clive Cussler.
And I really got into this whole low country, Charleston, you know, Prince of Tides, on and on. Yeah. So, and he's, and by the way, Gray Santini. But so he wrote a book called My Losing Season.
Yep.
He played basketball at the Citadel, right, Marty?
Yep.
His dad was a big Army guy, a fighter pilot, and really tough on him. And, you know, the guy would get 30 points in a high school game, and his dad's, like, beating his head, like, "You suck, you're not good." It's really being a little from the South and sort of and really good. So,
great pick.
That's a solid pick. I mean, John Grisham also on the table. UVA connection there. He's on my list, but I'm not picking him next. I'm going to go still in sport. But I'm going to do one episode away from Virginia. I'm taking Bruce Lee. Come on now.
He's on my list, T-Dubs.
Bruce Lee. He's, yeah. I mean, for any Asian man, he's the only Asian superhero.
Is this the first steal?
What's that? First steal of the draft? Bruce Lee, man. As an Asian man, he's all I had. Like, I'll keep it real. Like,
You also have Tiger and Jeremy Lin to consider, but I think Bruce.
Yeah, but you know those weren't around when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was Bruce Lee. He kept me from getting beat up at school every day, right? Because people were worried that I was Bruce Lee because they were racist.
I could do it. Yeah.
I grew up watching poorly dubbed martial arts flicks. And,
yeah, oh, the best. Yeah, they were so the best.
That has a special place in my heart.
Bruce Lee, and the racial draft Wu-Tang.
But you know what? That's like we would pick Bruce Lee too, because we would all go see Bruce Lee movies, and then afterwards there would be 30 of us fighting with each other, acting like we knew karate and kicking each other. Not one of us knew it, but that's what we would all do.
Yeah,
we're going to see hang out with my friends in Inglewood as a young guy. I lived in San Francisco until I was seven or so, almost seven, and I remember.
Oh, you were in the heart of it.
Going, well, everybody from the hood, Englewood,
Yeah.
Going to see a Bruce Lee movie and coming out and just 30 was just like going at it.
I mean, that was at it. Yeah, that was like the only time I thought, oh my God, there's a Chinese guy that is a star. That's like an actual superhero. He's not just like, oh, yes, sir, me, sir. Like, there's none of that. It was like,
yeah,
it was our superhero. It was pretty cool. All right.
Wait, T-Dubs, before we go on to me, what's the fascination with Allen Iverson?
Virginia, yeah. So when I was younger, he was the number one recruit, obviously UVA, following, thinking he was going to come to UVA in the infatuation with Terry Kirby. And he was at the Dell and playing, and he had his cleats on, and he just killed everyone. Everyone's like, who is this guy? And it was Allen Iverson. And that school, that's all everyone talked about. Allen Iverson. And, you know, he won some state titles at UVA, but there was just the legend of AI was real. Like, he was like a cultural icon for me. It's like, and when I watched him on the court, I mean, I loved Jordan already. And he was like Jordan on almost like steroids. Like, I couldn't, like, as a basketball fan watching and not being affiliated with UVA, I just wanted him to do well. I didn't really care about what team he was on. So it was like a different way of for fandom.
Well, what's so funny about him is, you know, in that time period, there were so many like college football players that came from the 757 and a lot of quarterbacks. And, you know, Aaron Brooks was the Virginia guy, and Virginia Tech, I'm blanking on their guys. But you ask any of those guys who the best quarterback from the 757 was back in the day, they'll say AI. And that's not
really the sport. There's a really cool YouTube show, and I don't know what it is, but they're asking college coaches, and they have like 15 of them, you know, in different clips. When you think of highlight tapes that you received where the player just blew you away on tape before you saw them live, who was that? And like 5 of the 15 said Allen Iverson, to your point, Tony, or Phony. You know, and that tape apparently was like mythical. His high school football tape was mythical amongst college football coaches. And they'd pop it in and say, check this kid out. And everyone would be like, oh my God, who is he? And he'd be like, yeah, he's playing for the 76ers right now.
He chose not to play football. And I love that.
Yeah.
He was amazing. And without social media, like, I think with social media, he would have actually probably got taken down a notch or two. But like, as a kid, you just saw what he was on the field. Like, I didn't get the Hampton paper. I got tidbits here and there in the national front. And he was like a hero. He was just like unbelievable.
Yep.
So,
Marcus, you're up.
Jack Johnson.
Oh. Wow.
Is it sad that I don't know who that is?
Boxer. In the early 1900s.
Okay, no, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you got to check him out, T-Dubs.
Jack Johnson, okay.
Yeah. He was
What was it about him? What about him?
The nastiest boxer. And he was just like, I don't give a damn. Hmm. Right?
Was he heavyweight?
I read something about him. Go ahead. Sorry. Go.
No, I was just like, heavyweight now is gone, right? Back when, you know, Mike Tyson was the first one that I had heard of on the national stage. I mean,
did they even have weight classes when Jack Johnson was fighting?
Was big it just and little. Little. It was just big and little.
Yeah, big and little. And Jack Johnson was a big dude.
The stories about those guys back then, though, with like gambling and all, was crazy, crazy. You know, Mike Tyson is a massive historian of heavyweights. And if you listen to him talk about those guys, he's like, that would have been his pick, Mark. Mike Tyson would have said Jack Johnson.
I'm not sure, although I do share another person in common with Mike Tyson. I'm not sure I want to share too many. Robin Givens. I'm not sure I want to share too many people in common with Mike Tyson. No,
right.
I dated Robin Gibbons before Mike Tyson did, Dougie.
There you go. Of course you did.
Yeah, yeah.
No, nobody's safe with Marky.
Dougie.
That's a good one. All right. Phony.
Zach Johnson, 1897.
What do you know about Beverly Johnson?
What's that?
Beverly Johnson.
Beverly Johnson that, well, I won't talk about her and Bill Cosby, but.
The model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her, Bill Cosby. She was a victim of Bill Cosby, I believe.
Oh, I didn't.
And with Phony's next pick, Bill Cosby. No.
I do have a comedy guy on my list. My next pick, actually, so the emphasis of my degree, my government degree at UVA, I took a lot of political theory. I love that. And in Joshua Dean Stagg's class, we read a lot of Michel Foucault. And so Foucault is who I would bring on because I know exactly what I would talk to him about. Foucault wrote a lot about the Panopticon, which was a prison that was designed by Jeremy Bentham. And the prison, the whole idea of the prison, it had like a central pillar with louvered windows, and all the cells face that pillar. And so one guard could theoretically be watching any of the prisoners. And so the idea is the prisoners wouldn't know if they were being watched, but there's an assumption that you're being watched, yeah, and thus you are controlled. And so Foucault extended that to society and how we were creating the panopticism where you're being watched. And modern technology, of course, has, I think, brought that to the forefront. And I would love to discuss the modern day panopticon with Foucault. All of us carry with us devices that track our movements. Everyone has a camera, and anything happens out in public, someone probably has it on camera these days. Right. And because of that, it changes how we act. It changes, or it certainly could change how we act. And I think it would be really fascinating to see how the panopticon has just become, this is who we are. It would be interesting to talk to Foucault about that.
5G.
I like it. Have?
Well, that's weird because I was also going to talk about Michel Foucault and around it. So like Tony, I mean.
Second steal of the day.
Yeah, sorry. So I had to take that one from you.
Yeah, well, that was interesting, and I feel like it changed my pick listening to you, because I feel like I've got to deliver something a little more meaningful.
You're no longer picking Garfield?
No, I went away from Arnold Schwarzenegger, and now I'm, okay, so I'm going to go, another, and Fresh will be with me on this, another sort of heartfelt one. Bringing back Big Red, Sean Wilson.
Dang it. He knew I had him on my list too.
Yeah, our teammate and friend.
Oh, mine too.
And I know I share that pick with Dougie. And what I would want to talk to Sean about is anything, anything but basketball. He was hilarious, hilarious, smart. A great friend, a great teammate, a master. We talked about Charlie Chaplin and his physical comedy. I would put Sean up against anyone with physical comedy, and that's one that's near and dear to me and Fresh, and I know our teammates. I'm gonna stick within basketball, but my last pick will be way outside of basketball, more along the lines of what Coach is doing. But somebody that I have had a long relationship with and is literally the content king, maybe of all time in college basketball, and that's Bobby Knight. Incredible. My dad's teammate at Ohio State. Coach at West Point, Krzyzewski played for him. Coached Indiana to, I think, 3 national championships. Took the U.S. to a gold medal in '84 with, a little player named Michael Jordan. And then, obviously, as time changed, I think it was difficult for Coach to change. But one of the more remarkable stats in all of college basketball, graduated every player that he ever coached except for one. And that deserves
that's amazing.
A standing ovation from the NCAA. And yes, there were some things that, he said and did that weren't.
Yeah, how far would you dig into those? Because you have a relationship with him. Would you be down to talk about some of the crazy things he's done and said?
Yeah, or no? I mean, obviously everyone talks about the chair throwing incident, and he's made lot of comments. He's been on shows and talked about that. The Neil Reed incident would be one I would want to talk to him about. I think what sticks out to me about Bobby Knight is, yes, he's a brilliant basketball mind, but he's also a historian, incredible reader of history and knowledge of places and leaders and all that. And also, he would describe himself as a fly fisherman who coaches basketball, not a basketball coach who fly fishes. An elite fisherman. I was lucky enough to go on a lot of trips with him and my father. And I know that Coach Knight and his son Pat would be absolutely terrific guests. And, a life in basketball from Bobby Knight would be well worth listening to.
I think you have one more pick, right? That's not your last pick.
No, I did Sean. Oh,
I don't know, because we go around one more time, right? We have five picks. Am I wrong?
So I went Sean and Bobby, and we're snaking back up now.
Yeah.
I
think okay.
You
end with me.
You made me think about Big Red. So right. Many stories.
All right, Tony.
All right. So this one is going to be my straight up comedy pick, and this was tough because stand up comedy has played a big role in my life and in growing up and in what I did for a while. So I'm going with Lenny Bruce. Because Lenny Bruce was a comic that I've never obviously got to see in person. He died before I was born. He was one of the very few comics, maybe the only comic that ever went to jail for his jokes. And he was tried for obscenity, but because of Lenny Bruce, comics really have the freedom to speak their mind. And I think in terms of civil discourse and in terms of criticizing your government and criticizing what's going on, obviously being able to stand up on a stage, to stand in a theater, or, you know, on a soapbox and speak your mind is critically important. And he did that in a way that not everyone enjoyed. And it wasn't always great. I won't even say that Lenny Bruce, I've seen clips of him, you know, and some of the stuff he veers into prop comedy and, you know, but he was such a trailblazer and every one that you see on TV today, and you can kind of trace the lineage from him to guys like Richard Pryor, who was, you know, possibly the best comic ever. And through what we have today, a lot of that started with Lenny, and he opened those doors for folks. So I think he would be a fascinating one to talk to and talk about even freedom of speech with respect to the avenues that all of us have today to put our words out there when that used to be really much more closed off.
I like it. You've talked about him before.
Yeah,
get it. Mark. Mm-hmm. Mark.
So this is a tough one. This is a tie for me. I already mentioned my fifth one. Between my fourth, who will not make my all-time five, is between Richard Williams, father of Serena and Venus, and O.J. Simpson.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. And I'm not sure which way to go. I'll go with the help of you guys. You guys can persuade
me. I don't think there's a better story, more impressive thing in the history of sports than the Williams sisters.
Yeah, I would have gone the Williams sisters. I mean, OJ's not going to tell you. He's not going to do anything.
Over a sport, I don't care what color, whatever.
Yeah.
There are two girls from Compton. And they could be Indian, Asian. They dominated the shit. And the first, the
changed the whole sport.
And then her younger sister just took it over.
Yeah, crazy.
Give me anything similar.
Yeah.
How did he do that? How the hell did Richard Williams do that?
Yeah.
In Compton, like, when did you get this vision?
And why tennis?
And why tennis? Well,
why not flag football?
And now UVA tied Alexis Ohanian's. wife.
You well, could maybe call. Maybe he knew the money was. Maybe he knew it was like there was loot in tennis. I think
it's either right for women. It's either tennis.
Yeah, golf maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. But tennis is like the one.
Smart. Yeah. Very smart. Yeah.
Very smart. OJ. So I'm not saying like, dude, tell me, admit you did it. It was more like going back from growing up, your political affiliations. Just why? Yeah. How come you never spoke out? How come you disassociated yourself from saying you were black? Right? Like your career as an NFL. There are a lot of things about OJ, but I think you guys persuaded me to go with Richard Williams, and I'm fascinated by him.
Great call.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
And by the way, he never like, you know, you see him at Wimbledon or wherever. He was like always himself. He wasn't like coming in a tux or I don't know. Have what do people wear at Wimbledon? You've probably been there. I haven't.
I will say, I've been there, but I have been to the US Open with you, Fred.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. By the way, sadly enough, two days before September 11th or the day before.
Yeah, the JP Morgan seats. JP Morgan seats.
No, it was, we were on the sixth row. There was nobody that deserved to be there less than us. Oh, me, you, and I.
Yeah, I went once.
The Forsman Little seats.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, that was a good pick.
So, who got tickets to the U.S. Open?
I got.
So, what did you guys wear?
It was like. Perfect fall day. We it was not an evening.
No, it was beautiful.
So we just had like shorts and a golf shirt on or whatever.
Yeah, I had my Arkansas State
collar shirt,
light beer on.
Fresh had a tank top, but most of the other patrons were.
Yeah, I was hoping he wore his Valoris orange Fila sweatsuit.
I had my Arkansas State jersey on. Yes.
All right, who's up?
I think it's me.
You.
I mean, we've gone this far and no one said Ralph Sampson. So I think I got steal in the draft.
Yeah.
I'll take Ralph Sampson. Come on. We haven't had, he's our white whale, Ralph Sampson. Talking whale. About everything's been talked about with Ralph is the only bad thing, but I think it'd be a pretty cool podcast to walk through.
Here's what I would ask Ralph. I would want to know about growing up being big, like I'd want to know about his childhood. Right. And then I think a great question for every pro athlete is, when did you know you were really, really good?
Right.
You know, and my guess is his was early, like sophomore year. He was like, I'm going to be a pro. Of high school. I don't mean college, but you know what? You never know. Everyone's got a different.
That would be, yeah. Well, we could actually probably somehow make that happen. But anyway, let's not talk about that.
Can you imagine Ralph's mixtape in high school?
Oh my God. Can you unbelievable. Imagine? And Ralph Sampson, you could argue he was the most coveted recruit ever, right?
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. Crazy. That's nuts because, you know, you think Michael Jordan, the greatest player, he wasn't coveted like that, mm-hmm. right? I mean,
rather than Georgetown,
right? Patrick Ewing. All right, Fresh, you got your last.
It's my last one.
Last two. Yeah, this is the last round right here. You get two picks, and then that's your last pick. Oh, Pistol Pete.
I like that one.
It's a good one.
I like that.
This goes back again to reading because when I was little,
yeah,
and now old, I bought this recently. I read a book about him, and it was kind of me growing up as a kid. Like the guy, he would do anything. His dad drove it out down his car, and he's like,
"Love it!"
Out the window, and I'm like, "Dude, yeah. I'll do that. If that makes me a pro,
that's or a cool. college
player, I'll do whatever it takes." And it reminds me, I was torn.
Who was it? I didn't even see it.
Bob Cousy. Pistol Pete,
I picked.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And he's also got some crazy stuff. God talked to him one time or three times, and he talked about having his first beer, and he loved it. But the guy scored 44 a game in college.
All right, cool.
No shot clock.
Right. It's no three-pointer.
No three-point, but no shot clock.
55.
Crazy.
And so it's just he's such an anomaly, an enigma. And if we could do our the way we do it, I think we'd really get to know what makes
the Pete.
Yeah. I love it. He played for the Celtics. I'm not sure with your dad.
I was a ball boy.
So you met him?
He played.
Of course.
Yep. Shaggy socks. He had the shaggy socks. That's what I remember. But I didn't understand his sort of contribution to the game at the time.
Right.
And by the way,
I'm not sure anybody. He's like Prince. He was so far ahead of his time, the time never caught up, right? Like Prince.
And massive injuries to his legs. Like by the time he got to the Celtics, it was like me and you right now, fresh, like just hobbling and everything hurting.
So I was torn between him and Bob Cousy. And thanks to you again and your family, Chris, I've met and spoke with Bob Cousy, which is a dream for me. So I went Pistol Pete.
By the way, I heard a great podcast with Bob Cousy and Bill Russell. Did I send that to you, Hav?
No, I want to hear it.
It was a really good one. Yeah. I think
they were the podcast, on it recently.
What's that?
They were on it recently.
It's an NPR podcast. I'll find it and send it to you.
Wait, who was your last pick, Fresh?
All right, so
I thought you said it. Never mind. Sorry.
Thunder. No, I was going to say Bob. I've watched a bunch of stuff about the Negro Leagues, and I'm infatuated with it for different reasons. I would love to know what it's like for Satchel Paige, you know, in Mobile, Alabama, to get $5 and go to Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine talking about that?
That's crazy.
So that's my last one.
That's a great one.
That's a great one.
Henry Aaron, I was thinking about Hank Aaron, but
no,
same story. Alabama, his mom gave his mom. Who loves you more than your mom?
All right.
And especially back then, a black child, like, go.
Incredible.
All right.
Yeah. So.
All right. Last pick, 22nd pick. I got a lot of my names are still on the list, but I'll keep it Virginia. I keep it Virginia. I'm going to go Melvin Whitaker. I want to know what happened.
Wow.
I want to know what happened on that day that he cut and changed the basic trajectory of Virginia.
Everything history. When that happened.
Yeah. I would love one. If I had 1 hour, that would be awesome just to hear what actually went down and all the nasty details in that. And so I'm going Melvin Whitaker.
Wow. Love that.
Yeah, strong.
All right, who's up? Marcus.
I'm going Colin Kaepernick.
Steal at this point in the draft.
We saw it coming. Pre-announced.
Absolute steal. I love it.
I agree with the social significance of having him. But I haven't seen him. I mean, this is why it would be great. We haven't seen him talk or.
Yeah, he hasn't done an interview. Yeah,
anything. That's true. So he's either doing that because maybe he's either, it's going to be binary. He's either going to be incredible or you get nothing out of him and terrible. But I agree with the stature of the pick with. You know what's going on, and you could argue he's the sort of Rosa Parks of this generation, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, is that do we know Hav's last pick?
All right, we're about to hear phony last pick of the.
All right, so mine. This is my sentimental pick, and this is my grandpa Clinton King. So, growing up, my father lived on the other coast. He wasn't a large influence in my life in shaping me. My maternal grandfather Clinton King was. He was a Navy Mustang, 30 years in the Navy, served through three different worlds: World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. He's the one that made me love America and the troops, and really kind of taught me like what a
so cool
what a man should be. So taught me baseball, taught me to be funny. So yeah, really I just like to thank him.
That's you think you're funny?
No, but he was Clinton Richard King.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah, that's great.
They used to tell the story about him sitting there having coffee with so his name was Rich. His middle name is Richard. Everyone called him Dick. He spilled some coffee in his lap, and someone said, "Did it burn you, Dick?" And he said, "No, just my leg." That was my grandpa.
All right, have finish it off.
Oh man, I've got a list in front of me. I'm tempted to go back to Michel Foucault again for the second time.
Yeah, part two.
It's such an obvious pick.
I'm not going to do that. And I'm tempted to go to Dr. Jill Biden, but I'm not going to do that either. I am going with a weird pick, and only Fresh may understand this because he knows kind of my love of the ocean and the fact that I flirted with becoming a marine biology major at UVA for about a year until I realized the labs all took place in the afternoon when we had practice. So,
can I guess?
You can.
I'm going to guess Jacques Cousteau.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
Yes.
Always, you know, always, that's a great, great guess. And just, you know, I won't bore anyone with his sort of accolades, but you read his Wikipedia page.
No, he's amazing.
His Wikipedia page makes you feel like you should be, like when you're watching TV, that you should like go do something because he's done so many things in his life. But just a pioneer for the ocean, conservancy, you know, creating sustainability in the ocean. He was just he started off as a guy in the French Navy and went on to do incredible things. And, you know, one of the things I shared with my dad was fishing in the ocean. So I got hooked on Jacques Cousteau, and probably an unlikely pick for a podcast in 2021, but remarkable.
That's cool. That's a good one.
You know why I knew that? So Coach Holland took us our first year during Christmas to France, south of France. And we visited the Jacques Cousteau Museum.
Yeah.
And not one person on the team cared about it. And Chris was reading and taking pictures and doing the whole thing. We're like, Chris, what the? And he's like, that's why I knew that one. Or I guessed that one.
Yeah, remarkable dude. And
what a great,
we had a good draft, guys. We covered a lot. There were sentimental picks. There were artsy picks, athletic picks. T-Dub kept it real with Virginia, which we need to do. But I think I think anyone on that list would be worthy. And
I had Bruce Lee on there. So I had one.
Oh, no, yeah, I love that. But all good people.
We all had Bruce Lee, TW, but we talked about it together. But
let me have it. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, I had other ones on the list that were non-Virginia, but the steal, though, Muhammad Ali was on mine because the Virginia tie.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, that was
other names we'll just throw out with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out a couple.
Just imagine being able to talk with any of
these. Kareem.
Ooh, yeah. I thought Larry Bird was going to be number one on your list. I don't know why.
I had Larry on my list, but I also have gotten to know Larry and realized that he's not real.
Not a good interview.
He's not bringing the entertainment value to a podcast, but he would certainly be good. And then the other one, so I had Kareem. The other one I was going to throw out, my artsy pick, was Julia Childs, who I love cooking. Mm. And she was just a
pioneer. Oh, nice.
I love watching, you know, she's always on in New England. So I sort of learned to cook with her. And then as a more recent guy that I used to work for, and I think is one of the smartest guys I've ever worked with or for, is Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA.
That'd be, God, amazing.
Yeah.
Some random one I had on my list other than, I'll just go non-Virginia. Adnan Syed from Serial Podcast, the kid that's in jail.
Oh, yeah.
The most random one ever, but I'm like, if we're talking growth on podcasts, Adnan Syed is going to knock it out for us. We're going to be number one in that.
Their first podcast that people were like, what's a podcast? Yeah, wow,
exactly.
Right, exactly. T-Dubs, guilty or innocent?
I have no idea. That's why I want to have him on. I actually really don't. I have no clue. I think he's guilty of something. I don't know whether he did that. He probably had a hand in it, is my guess. I don't know. I have no fucking clue.
I think 1,000% guilty. And
guilty? Yeah, but, I don't know. I couldn't tell. I liked him though. Like when I listened to him, I was like, he sounds like he could be my friend. Like,
wait a minute. I know. Why do you say 1,000% guilty? And I just don't know.
Who is it? Who's on
the? He just had some weird stuff, right? The I don't knows and the I don't remember stuff.
He was remarkably charismatic and intentionally, had intentional amnesia. I haven't read or studied this, Mark. I just remember when I was listening to the podcast thinking
he did it.
Yeah, there's like so many things add up and then I love it. Like, yeah, he probably did it.
You're on the jury. You're on the jury for sure.
You watch Dateline, and within like they have to introduce a few fake,
right?
Potential suspects until they get to the husband who did it every time. Kills the lady every time on Dateline. There's no deviation. It's either the husband or her scorned lover, and that's it. Those are the options.
Going back to our Netflix show, make sure you watch the serial killer. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out, T-Dubs.
Bring it back to the serial killer piece.
Yeah, I can't do it.
By the way, any other random names on your list? Oh, there you go.
I was very close to going Chris Havlicek.
Chris Hav.
Washington, D.C., June 1990. Of course, my mom puts everything on the back of the card. Hey, look at that picture.
Well, I look like a villain in an 80s sitcom.
That's great.
That was pre-broken nose, by the way. That was before karate destroyed my nose in a practice.
I just found a bunch of pictures. This is funny, man.
Where are you? What is that? The Greek ruins or Big is that pie. Lambeth?
That's in Disneyland in L.A.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Another one I'm surprised we didn't have, Al Drummond, first black UVA basketball player. I don't know. I had him on my list.
Yeah, you should have had him. What year
was that, Tito?
71.
71 was our first black player?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
early or late?
Different strokes.
That's so late.
Al Drummond, yeah. That's right. Yeah, UVA, my dad moved here to take the job at UVA. He's the first Asian professor, and they just allowed women in. Like to the school. So this was 73.
That's crazy.
Yeah, lady. Like 70 is when they allowed women into something like that. I mean, it's not the most
progressive
school. Yeah, it's definitely not the progressive. I mean,
I'm thinking to my dad, like his Ohio State team's 58-62. Like,
yeah,
they had half and half black players, white players.
I mean, the real Virginia podcast list probably includes a lot more racist people on the top. So shout out to us for progress.
Should anyone have said Thomas Jefferson?
No, that's where I was going to go. Thomas Jefferson, maybe
David Duke. I mean, if you're talking UVA, you got to have TJ on, right?
If we really want the UVA fan base, let's go Thomas Jefferson and then the head of the Ku Klux Klan. No, I'm kidding. That was too far.
You got look when you think of like,
too far, Tito.
A little too far.
A little far. We'll reel that back in. But you got Thomas Jefferson, Ralph.
Right.
Ralph Sampson. If you're doing the Mount Rushmore, you need two more. And I'm not talking just sports. I'm talking like impact.
Edgar Allan Poe should have been on my list to make it, but he was not.
Did he go to UVA?
Yeah, he went to UVA. Georgia O'Keeffe, the most famous artist from you female artist.
Okay, now we've encompassed it all. And
that's probably
let's
it.
Let's not forget Michel Foucault.
And then Michel Foucault. I had Terry Holland on my list. Terry Holland.
Fascinated, and I'm going to go into the Google deepest him. Rabbit hole ever about the prison and that's
yeah. Read
Miami, read. I have no idea.
Charlie Chaplin. Yeah. I'll send us all the. I'll publish this list in a blog or something for us all to look at later.
I tell you what, we touched every corner of like a diverse list here.
It was cool. I don't know how often we do this, but it's kind of fun.
And if we had all these guests on the same show, it would be the worst podcast ever.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, you're right. You're so true.
I mean, yeah, we'll have to rank who would be the iTunes number one podcast. between us.
My dad and Bobby Knight would have stormed off, just not happy with the organization fresh. And then Big Red would have fallen asleep. And then, it was all great picks by everybody. It was a lot of fun. And by the way, I don't know who's still listening, but if you hung in there for this long,
you're a hero. Yeah, please. Let us know. Anyway, I appreciate you guys. We'll be back.
Let's give a free t-shirt, T-Dub, to the first person that makes it through this.
Yeah, whoever makes it this, ping us.
Right.
Info@lockerroomaccess.com.
You got to send the code.
Free t-shirt.
The code is 143-217-69428. If you remember that and send it to T-Dub, you get some gear.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Till next week.
Peace out.
All right.
Peace. Go Hoos.